This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good morning, Rabbi Isai. Welcome, everyone, to the Kollel here in the Young Israel of Kew Garden Hills, New York. And I want to share with you something today, really incredible information. This was something that was a very big chiddush to me. I was not fully aware of this. And let's begin by asking a very important question. And this question is really raised in the Sefer Shas Tshuvas Binyan Shlaimai of Rav Shlaimai HaKayin of Vilna, the author of the Cheshek Shlaimai. And he quotes the question of his brother, Rav Betzalel HaKayin. And he has a very interesting question. He says, the truth is there are 2 days that we receive the Luchais. Shavuos, where we receive the Luchais Rishaynais, and Yom Kippur, that we receive the Luchais Shniais. And yet, the way that we celebrate these 2 days are really diametrically opposite, because the way we celebrate Shavuos is we celebrate physically. We celebrate but with a simcha, with mishteh, with simcha. In fact, the Gemara brings opinions that even though when it comes to other Yom Tovim, there are different ways of celebrating. Some Tanoim say that you could celebrate it spiritually. Sometimes you could say you could celebrate it physically. But when it comes to the Yom Tov of Shavuos, the Gemara says, HaKol Moedim, everyone agrees, but you know, Nami Lachem, that you must celebrate it physically. If you don't celebrate, if you stay up all night learning and you don't eat, then you have not been Mekayim the Iker Mitzvah of Yom Tov. Shavuos must be celebrated physically. And on the other hand, the day of Yom Kippur, which was the other day we received the Torah, we celebrate it spiritually. We fast, we pray. You're not allowed to eat. It's aser to eat. You have to afflict yourself. So the way that we celebrate these two Yomim Tovim are really opposites, really diametrically opposite. And take a look in number 22, the last Maramakam on the sheet, the Cheshek Shlomer brings, I have seen to bring a few Jerushim that I heard from my brother, Rabbi Salel HaKohen, that he was, he stood up, meaning he was aroused. Lahavin atam de lama ba'at seres hu yom shenitam b'luchas rishaynos hu yom mishta b'simcha. And even Rebbe Lazar that holds that simchas yom tov is rishos by shvuos he's ma'idet b'inanami lachem, because it's the day the Torah was given. So we see the day the Torah is given, you should celebrate physically at on Yom Kippur, v'ilu b'yom Kippur, du nami yom shenin about Torah. Like the Gemara says in Tainis, loy hayu yomim tovim liYisrael ke yom Kippurim. And the Gemara says Yom Kippur because it's Yom Shenitim by Luchos Achroinos. It's Mamish Lehepach. It was enacted as a Tainis and as a Tzoyim and Kapara and Slicha. So why is the day that the Luchos Achroinos were given so drastically different than the day the Luchos Rishonos were given? Okay, so that's question number one. I would like to answer this question in a very novel way, and I think it's a very beautiful idea. Okay, let's begin. Let's ask another question, and that is, Bechlal, what day do we really celebrate in terms of the giving of the Torah? Shavuos. We don't celebrate Yom Kippur as the day of the giving of the Torah. We celebrate Shavuos as the day of the giving of the Torah. Is that really? Does that really make sense? Is really Shavuos the correct date to celebrate if we're celebrating a day of the giving of the Torah? If you think about it, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai on Vav Sivan, and he went up to get the Torah, and Hashem gave him the Torah, and he came down 40 days later, and he was holding the Luchos, and what were Klal Yisrael doing? They were serving the Egel. So Moshe took the Luchos, and he smashed them to smithereens. So that giving of the Torah did not quite work out. It was an abysmal failure. Hashem said, I tried, but I give you a big Yashar Koyach for smashing the Luchos. We're not married anymore. It's as if when you serve the Egel, you were not tied to me. It's as if you were Mezana as a Pnuya, as a single woman. So that didn't work out. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, can we do this again? Hashem said, I don't know. So Moshe tried again. He went up, Yod Ches Tamos. He came back down, Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul. Hashem said, okay, fine, take two. Moshe Rabbeinu went up on Rosh Chodesh Elul. He came down on Yom Kippur, Hashem said, Salachti Kivarecha, and Moshe came down with the second Luchos, and Hashem said, okay, this time it's a deal. So if you were to be celebrating, let's say, for example, you went out with somebody, and you decided to marry them, and then after 40 days, you got divorced, and she said to you, I don't want to look at you again, I can't stand you, get out of here, and you say, you know what, the feeling is mutual, and you parted ways, And then 100 days later, you know, you realize that as a second marriage, it's pretty good, right? You know the joke they say. Okay, I won't say it now. Okay, so I'll tell you later. So so they get married again, and now they want to celebrate their anniversary. So which anniversary are you going to celebrate? The marriage that didn't work out or the marriage that did work out? Of course the second marriage, not the first. The first marriage they try to forget about. So why would we commemorate the day of the giving of the first Torah when that Torah was broken, it was smashed to smithereens, it didn't work out? Even the Torah we have today is very different than the first Torah. The Luchos Rishonos, Chazal tell us, you would learn it, you would never forget it. It didn't require amelos, it didn't require toil. The second Luchos, you learn today and you forget it the next minute. You have to constantly review. It needs tremendous yigiyah, tremendous amelos. Why then, Rabbi Yisai, do we celebrate the day of the giving of the first Torah, which didn't work out, and instead it would make more sense to celebrate the second time the Torah was given, that Torah did work out. So what we're going to examine today are the Ramban's amazing explanation of the difference between Luchos Rishonos, Luchos Shniyos, and this will explain many, many difficult parts of the Torah to us. We're going to explain the concept of the Teichacha. You know, what is the Teichacha? Hashem says, here are the mitzvahs, you should keep them. And if you don't keep them, there's punishment. But then Hashem heaps on us these curses and oaths and terrible prognostications that will take place if we don't keep the Torah. What's all that all about? Why is that necessary? We're going to explain many differences between Luchos Rishonos and Luchos Shniyos. For example, Luchos Rishonos, who went up to Har Sinai? Moshe. And then Aaron went up a little bit, and the Zakenim went up also a little bit, and the people were all on by the mountain. And Luchos Shniyos, who went up? Moshe. Where was Aaron? He was home. I don't know. He was teaching Pirkei Avot. Where was the Zakenim? I don't know. Where were the people? They were cooking macaroni. Were they under the mountain? No, they didn't have to show up. What's going on? Nobody shows up to Kabbalah, the second Kabbalah Satayra. The first Kabbalah, when Hashem offered us Luchos Shniyos, what did we respond? What did we respond when Hashem offered us Luchos Rishonos? Nasa Misha. How about when he offered us Luchos Shniyos? What did we answer? The correct answer is, we don't know. Doesn't say. So, why doesn't it say what our response was? These are all very interesting curiosities, and I think this will give us a tremendous insight into the episodes in the Chumash in general. Okay, let's begin with the Ramban. We're going to be learning a number of Rambans in depth. 4, 5, 6, 7, at least 8 passages in the Ramban in the limited amount of time we have. And the Ramban begins by disagreeing with other Rishonim, right? We know there's a famous rule, Ein Muktam Umuchar Batayra, right? Wrong. Ramban says there's no such rule. Even though we've been accustomed to thinking that the Torah is not in chronological order, and that's the opinion of Rashi and other Rishonim, the Ramban rejects that. The Ramban says the Torah was given in chronological order. Everything is in order. And therefore, the Ramban in Parshas Bahar comments that we know in Bechukaisai, what do we have in Bechukaisai? The Teichacha. The Teichacha certainly comes after Luchos Shniyos, after Kisisa, right? In other words, the Teichacha is after the Chet HaEgel, not before the Chet HaEgel, which in contradistinction to what you could possibly say, that even though it appears in the Chumash later, but maybe Hashem already warned them about it earlier. The Ramban learns no. The Teichacha was not given until after we basically blew it with the Egel. Let's read certain lines in number one. Ulfi Daiti. The Ramban, of course, was born in 1194 in Gerona, Spain. He passed away in Eretz Yisrael in 1270 on Yud Aleph Nisan. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda ben Yaakov and Rabbi Nassim ben Meir. And in Kabbalah, he was a Talmud of Rabbeinu Ezra and Rabbeinu Azriel. The Ramban says, Ulfi Daiti ki nichtava kan beseder nachan. The Torah was written in a correct order. Ki perush bahar Sinai, when Parshas Bahar begins on Har Sinai, ba'aloi soy sham l'kabaluch hashnias. Parshas Bahar begins, that Hashem was warning Moshe Rabbeinu about the importance of Shemitah when he went up to receive the second Luchais. Ubir ha'inyan, the explanation is, ki betchilas arba'am yom harishanim shaluchas rishaynais, the first 40 days of the lucha, of the first Luchais, kasav Moshe b'sefer habris, is called Divrei Hashem. Moshe wrote the Book of the Covenant, all the words of God, and all the Mishpatim, and he sprinkled blood on the people by the Luchas Rishaynais. Uchshechatu be'egel, and when Kal Yisrael sinned at the Egel, v'neshtabru haluchais, ki'ilu nizbatla habris ahi etzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's as if the covenant was broken for God. And when Hashem reconciled to Moshe with the Luchas Shniyos, he commanded him to make a new bris, like it says, Hinea noichi kairis bris. And he reminded them of the mitzvahs chamurais, like it says, that are said in Eilei HaMishpatim. So comes the Sefer Sam Darach. Sam Darach is a Sefer of Rav Simcha Zisel Broida, the Rosh Hashiva of Hebron. And he wrote an in-depth analysis on the Ramban, in the Sefer Sam Darach. And he says, well, if we're going to take the words of the Ramban at face value on the fourth line, that when we sinned on the Egal, the bris was broken, that seems like all bets are off until the second Luchos when Hashem made a new bris. So then we have a big question here. Why commemorate the sixth day of Sivan if the sixth day of Sivan was nullified, it was canceled, and a new day was took its place, and that is Yom Kippur. Let's see another Ramban. The Ramban continues that in the second bris, Hashem was stricter with us. It's interesting. The second bris, God was much more strict with us. Ramban says, "V'ratza HaKadosh Baruch Hu lahachmir eleyem bebris hazois hashenes." God wanted to be stringent with us in the second bris. Shatia aleyem, that it should be upon them be'alois, curses, uveklalois, oaths and curses, v'shatia karishayna, that these oaths and curses should impose all the original mitzvahs. Therefore, at the end of the Toichacha, it says, "Ela hachukim ha'mishpatim ha'toyrois asher nosan Hashem beinoy uvein b'nei Yisrael b'har Sinai b'yad Moshe." By the way, the Ramban adds, two lines down, V'hinei b'sefer habris harishayin, the first covenant. Hashem said the mitzvah of Shemitah, but he only said it in general. All he said is, V'hashavias tishmetena unitashta. But in the second bris, God got into the nitty-gritty details. So we see two interesting points in this Ramban. Number one, which bris was more chamor, the first bris or the second bris? Second bris. God wanted Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not Lezakos Yisrael, but Lahachmir Aleihem, to be strict with them. Why would God want to be strict with us? I thought Hashem wants to do kindness to us. Number two, why by the first bris did God only give us generalities, and by the second bris He gave us the details? This all requires explanation. Next Ramban. Remember in Parshas Mishpatim at the end of the Parsha? Number five, right.
It says Tishmatenu and Tashta.
Correct. Right. That was by the first bris, because we're not up to Kisisa yet. Parshas Mishpatim, it says Moshe Rabbeinu takes the people to Har Sinai, and there are a lot of rituals taking place at Har Sinai. For example, he brought karbanos. Right? Remember he brought karbanos? And he sprinkled half the blood on the people and half the blood on the Mizbeach. Did he do that by the second bris? Were there any karbanos brought by the second bris? No. Did he sprinkle blood on anyone in the second bris? Was there any ritual done at the second bris? No. Interesting. Look in the Ramban. The Ramban says, "V'lo hutzrach ata sheyizbach zvachim." Now God did not; they didn't have to bring sacrifices. V'yizroik chatzi adam alaam, sprinkle half the blood on the people. V'chatzi adam lamizbech kasher asav rishayna. Avo kiblu aleihem habris harishayna. No ritual. God just said, if you don't keep the Torah, I'm going to torture you. The Toichacha. Gulp. So the first time they were all involved, you know? They brought sacrifices, they were sprinkled. The second time God just gave them the Toichacha. What's the reason for this? Now, another interesting point is, anybody know? Well, so let's point out what we have so far. Second bris is more chamor. Second bris has details. First bris, they did rituals. Second bris, no rituals. What's this all about? By the way, anybody know, what's the two most strict mitzvahs in the Torah that carry with it the most severe penalties? Basically,
Where's your guys?
Shabbos. Because Shabbos not only is Misa, but it's Misa Bidei Bezdin. And furthermore, it's Skila, which is the most chamor of all the... But even worse than Shabbos, because if someone doesn't keep Shabbos, they still get to live in Eretz Yisrael. God doesn't say, I'm going to throw you out of Eretz Yisrael. But there's one mitzvah where God says, if you don't keep this mitzvah, I will remove you from the Holy Land. You cannot even live here. Shemitah. Shemitah, in a way, is the most chamor dika mitzvah in the whole Torah, that Hashem says, if you don't keep the Shemitah, you're out of here. The land will expectorate you. You'll be sent into exile. Why is Shemitah so chamor? Why does Shemitah carry with it such a severe penalty? Interesting. Marv
Raboisai. And it's by the first, right?
What? Now, Shemitah was only said generally by the first. And it doesn't say the bad things that will happen if you don't keep it. Second time around, Oz Tirtza Aretz HaShab Soiseha. The first time when Klal Yisrael stood at Har Sinai, who was there? We were all there. Moshe went up. Aaron went up a shtickle. Right? Aaron went up a shtickle. The Zekanim went up. Yeah? The people were there, where they were under the mountain, and we have a tradition, the neshamas of all Klal Yisrael were there. Not only that, what about the animals? What about the animals? I don't know, the animals also, if Elsie wanted to stick around and get a good glimpse. He came. The second time, v'ish layale imach, v'gam ish al yera, b'chol ha'har, gam atsoin v'habakar al yeru, El Mol Harahu. Who could come up with you, Moshe? Nobody. Not Aaron, not Yeshua, not the Zakenim, not the people. Well, the animals, they can't even graze opposite, right? They can't even graze opposite. Everyone away! What do you mean everyone away? I thought we're giving the Torah to the Jewish people. Don't they have to be there? So I'm going to tell you another chiddush. So those are the facts. The first time everyone's on the mountain, the second time nobody could get anywhere near there. Who would you think is greater? Moshe or all of Klal Yisrael put together?
Klal Yisrael. Moshe is who's Klal Yisrael.
I would have thought all of Klal Yisrael is greater.
Moshe got in the world, who's Klal Yisrael?
The leader is only as great as the collective sum of the people. Or at least equal.
Because Rav said he's going to destroy Bnei Israel, he'll spot a new Bnei Israel right from Moshe.
Yeah, so the Ramban says Moshe was greater than the entire entity of Klal Yisrael put together. Therefore, the first Torah was meant to be given to Klal Yisrael. So the first Torah was meant to be given to Klal Yisrael. The revelation, the divine revelation was Parav, was not in its full glory. Okay? The second time, nobody else is invited. It's only for Moshe. Oh, Moshe! Godol Yia Kavod Giloi Ha'achron Min Arisha. And the Ramban says, paraphrasing the Pasuk in Chagai, Godol Yia Kavod Habayis Hasheni. Right? It says, Godol Yia Kavod Bayis Ha'achron Min Arisha. We know the glory of the second Beis HaMikdash was greater than the first Beis HaMikdash. I once thought to say, it comes out very interesting, the same way the glory of the second Beis HaMikdash was greater than the first, the Ramban is saying the glory on Har Sinai by the second Luchos was much greater than the first, because the first was only to Klal Yisrael, and the second was to Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was greater, and therefore the glory was greater. It comes out interesting, the Navi says, when did the second Beis HaMikdash, when did it begin? When did they found it? It was inaugurated on Rosh Chodesh Elul, just like the second Luchos. It's interesting. Okay.
How is second wise bigger? There's no.
We'll
Ezra,
see.
Ezra.
So
no questions.
If you look in number seven. If you look in number seven, he says v'ish lo yale imach. So the Ramban says Shalayalu imcha klal ziknei Yisrael. The zikanim cannot go up. Kasher also bluchas rishaynis. V'gam ishal yira b'chal ahar. Gam b'tachdis ahar makar mamid yisrael b'rishayna. They can't even go on the banner on the mountain. Gam atzan avagal yira mul hara. Mi neged. By the rishaynis, all it says is, laisiga habayad im behema mish. They just, the animals couldn't touch it. Now they can't even go near it. Now the truth is, they still weren't allowed to go back to the mountain because the first warning still stood. In other words, the original admonition was still on from the first appearance on Har Sinai, but now things are being more chamor to them. Aval ate hechmer b'shas madna luchas elu yoiser v'hatam. Listen to this: the last two lines of the Ramban. Ki barishaynos haya hamaymud b'avor kol Yisrael. The first time around, the giving, the revelation was for all of Klal Yisrael. This was only for Moshe alone in his chus and through his tefillah. The Godo Yia Hakovay Nigla Harva Achroim in Arishan. The revelation of the second time was greater than the first. Now, I never knew that. I never knew that the revelation the second time around was greater than the first time around. Says of Simcha Broida, when Moshe Rabbeinu number 9, when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai the first time, what did he look like? What emanated from him? It was a trick question. Nothing. He looked like everybody else. Nothing happened to Moshe Rabbeinu. Nothing. He had no revelation. He didn't look any different than usual. How about when Moshe Rabbeinu came down by Lucha Shnios? All of a sudden, he was emanating rays of light, and he had to wear a mask on his face. Why? Why the first time around Moshe Rabbeinu was not emanating Kedusha, and the second time, yes, answers. The first time around, the divine revelation was very much, it was very small, was not great at all, was in a reduced mode. Hashem did not reveal himself on Har Sinai the first time around in his full glory because it was for Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael, even as a collective entity, were not on the same level that Moshe Rabbeinu was. And therefore, the second time around, where the Ramban says, Godol Yia, Kavod Habayis Ha'achrim in Arishayin, Moshe Rabbeinu emanated rays of light, he shone, and this illustrates the difference between the giving of the luchos the first time around and the giving of the luchos the second time around. The second time around was bezchus Moshe because of his tefillah, and the first time around was bezchus Klal Yisrael. Okay, so we still haven't explained fully. By the way, this explains why the first time around everyone could show up. Why? Because there was Kedusha, but it wasn't so intense that people were not able to go up to the mountain. The second time around, the intensity of Kedusha did not allow anyone to go up to the mountain except for Moshe Rabbeinu. Let's proceed. What was the reaction of Klal Yisrael when Moshe offered them the second luchos? And we said before the correct answer was, we don't know. So the Ramban says, so we could conjecture that in all probability, if the first time around they said Na'aseh v'nishma, in all probability that was the reaction again, and the Torah doesn't report it, because once it reports it the first time, the Torah understands that that was the reaction the second time around. That's the first approach to the Ramban in number 10. Kesoiv l'chas hadvar ma'ila, tziva sheyichtav sefer bris, v'yikra oisoi ba'aznei ha'om, v'kablu aleihem b'na'aseh v'nishma, ki kol ha'maisa asher haya b'luchos harishonos, Yirtza l'shanoisoi imoem b'luchos shniyos. The whole episode that was recorded in Luchos Shniyos, he wanted to repeat. Ve'ein safek sha'asakein. There's no doubt that he did it, but the Torah doesn't have to talk about it because the Torah is not marach as in many instances. That's the first approach to Ramban, that Klal Yisrael said na'aseh v'nishma, but the Torah doesn't record it. But now we're about to introduce the second approach to the Ramban, which Ramban feels is the most correct approach. And this, I guarantee, will forever change your perception of Kabbalas HaTorah, Matan Torah, and the sixth day of Sivan, as opposed to Yom Kippur. Let's discuss a beautiful Gemara, the most famous Gemara about Kabbalas HaTorah. Vayis Yatsu B'tachta Sahar, they stood at the foot of the mountain. Amar Rav Avdimi, Bar Chama, Bar Chasa. From here we learn that Hashem suspended the mountain over their head like a barrel. And he said to them, if you accept the Torah, good. And if not, you're going to be buried. You're going to die on the spot. You'll be buried here. free burial. They don't have to pay for it's cheaper than Har Menuchas. Okay? Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Mikan Moido Rabba Loi Raisa. This teaching is an opt-out clause from the Torah.
It's a what?
It's an opt-out clause. It's a safety hatch. Because, yeah, the safety hatch is like this. If God were ever come to us and say, why do you talk by Chazar Sashatz? So we could say, what do you mean? Who said we ever accepted not to talk by Chazar Sashatz? Hashem said, I gave you a Torah. Klal Yisrael said, we didn't want it. But you accepted it. No, you shoved it down our throats. From here, the Gemara says, Hashem can never punish us for a failure to keep the Torah. Because Hashem forced us into it. I have a question. Hey, pal, Reb Yid, I want to buy your pen. You say, no, yeah.
Come on.
I don't care whose it is. Right? If you force somebody, you threaten someone to buy something, is it a good sale or is it not a good sale? It's not a good sale. So, a shotgun sale is not a good sale. Shotgun marriage is not a good marriage. And shotgun Torah is not a good Torah. So the Gemara says, yeah, because they had a gun to their head. They could say whatever you want. You could say, I'll keep everything. But Hashem forced them. So Gemara says, we were not required to keep the Torah, Amar Rava, but we accepted it, Beratzen, in the times of Achashverosh, like it says, Kimu v'kiblu ha'yehudim. Okay? So not until Purim did we have to keep the Torah. People think Purim is a great day. Okay, yeah, why? Until Purim, we didn't have to keep the Torah. And at Purim, Hashem could punish us. People don't realize that. Fine. That's the Gemara. Frek Tosfos. What are you talking about? When Klal Yisrael stood Ba'arvos Moav on Har Grizim and Har Eval, Hashem made a bris with Klal Yisrael on the Torah and Mitzvahs, and He made us take a Shvua, right? We know that before we went into Eretz Yisrael, at the end of Devarim, we had the deal, the covenant, the bris of Har Grizim and Har Eval, right? The Toichacha, the second Toichacha. So we accepted the Torah. Fractoises, how could the Gemara say, Mikan Moida Rabbaloi Raisa? But Hashem made us take an oath that we're going to keep the Torah on the plains of Har Grizim and Har Eval. So Toises says, Amar Rabbeinu Tam, Hashem made us take that as well. So it's not like we woke up in the morning, God, come, let's come together in Har Grizim and Har Eval and make us take an oath that we're going to keep the Torah. This was our idea. Hashem said, go do it. So it was al-Piyadi, we didn't have a choice. That's also Baal Karchai. But in times of Achashverosh, it wasn't Baal Karchai. Frekt Reb Simcha Zisel Broida. I have a better kasha on the Gemara. Maybe Luchash Rishaynois was forced because it was Kafaleim Harkigis. We don't find Luchash Nius were Kafaleim Harkigis. And the Ramban seems to say, Luchas Shniyos, we said what? Nasa v'nishma. So maybe we were forced into Luchas Rishonos, but we were not forced into Luchas Shniyos. So the Ramban, in number 14, he continues on what he began, what we began reading in number 10. The Ramban is addressing again the question of what was the reaction of Klal Yisrael to Luchas Shniyos. So in the first approach, the Ramban says that the reaction was Nasa v'nishma. The Ramban in the second approach says, no, in my opinion, the reaction of Klal Yisrael by Luchas Shniyos was irrelevant. What it was? I don't know what it was, but it doesn't matter what it was. Why? Says the Ramban, Ki ba'avur she'Yisrael heim ha'choytim v'ha'ivr mal ha'bris. Because the Jewish people were the sinners and those who violated the covenant, God had to make a new deal with them, so that He does not break the bris. The Jews were the sinners. God had to make a new bris so that He does not annul the covenant. And He asked Moshe to write the Tanoim. And this is what it means, Ki al pi hadvar ma'ela karati idcha bris v'yes Yisrael, with you, Moshe, but the deal is not with the Jews. V'loi hutzruchu heim lahavi azim sar zabris. They didn't even have to show up. The bris was not with the Jewish people. The second luchos were not given to the Jews. They were given to Moshe. And what was the Jews' reaction? Who cares? It was a bris for God. To seal a bris that he's moichel them. And he wrote the Mechila and the Tanaim. What's the Ramban saying? The Ramban saying a very amazing concept. It's a legal concept. If you know the legalities of treaties and covenants, so let's say United States of America makes a treaty with North Korea that nobody's going to fire any nuclear arms. And one day, and the next day, North Korea shoots a missile into the ocean. So they break the deal. So on Sunday, they break the deal. Could they say, well, I broke the deal on Sunday, so now I could break the deal on Monday. The deal's broken. No, the deal's still there just because they broke it. They can't break it again. Are they still bound by the treaty? They're absolutely still bound by the treaty. How about the United States of America? Are they bound by the treaty? No, all bets are off. Because North Korea broke it. When a deal is made between two parties, between Reuven and Shimon, if Reuven breaks the deal, he can't break it again, but Shimon could break it. When God gave us the Luchos Rishonos, there was a deal. The deal was, I'm faithful to you, you're faithful to me. You keep the Torah, I take care of you. We didn't keep the Torah. Are we allowed to break the Torah again? No. Are we still bound by the Torah? Yes. Does God need to take care of us? No. God said, I'm finished with you. After the Chet HaEgel, the deal wasn't off. It's not Nisbatel. We have to go back to the first Ramban and read his words so carefully. The Ramban writes on the fourth line, Uchshachatu be'egel v'neshtabra aluchos. We have to read four words. Number one, Ki'ilu nisbat. That's as if it's batel. Meaning, these are the two words that sum up the whole Yom Tov of Shavuos and Yom Kippur. Who is it batel? Eitzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's batel for God, but it's not batel for us. We still got the Torah on Shavuos. We're still bound by that Torah. In no way is our responsibility to the Torah lessened and weakened because we broke the deal. But God has absolutely no responsibility to keep His end of the deal because we broke what we said we're going to do. And therefore, God did not call Moshe Rabbeinu up to Har Sinai the second time to bind us to the Torah. We're still bound to the Torah. God called on Moshe Rabbeinu the second time because he was considering not having to subject himself to this deal anymore because he's not required to. So what happens when there's a deal between Reuven and Shimon? Reuven breaks the deal, and Reuven, we said, is still bound by the deal. Shimon is not bound by the deal. What if Shimon says, you know what? I'm going to try again. I want to continue to be bound by this deal. So what does Shimon need to do? Does he need to get Reuven back into the room? No, Reuven's irrelevant. We don't need Reuven. Reuven's still bound by the deal. What Shimon needs to do is he needs to hire an attorney to make a clause in the original deal that, you know what, despite the fact that Reuven broke it, I'm committing myself to the original deal. So that's exactly what happened. Luchos Rishonos, Klal Yisrael was given the Torah. Therefore, if we're being given the Torah, we need to be there. Aaron needs to be there. The Zakenim needs to be there. The animals need to be there. Everyone needs to be there. We accepted the Torah. God accepted His deal. And we're still bound by the Torah. But then we broke it. So God is not bound by it anymore. God says, you know what? I love you so much. I'm going to recommit myself to you. You guys, you don't have to show up. You're still bound. You stay home and cook macaroni. I need an attorney. Who's going to be my middleman to write this new clause that I'm bound to you? Moshe, get up here again. Moshe, come up. Moshe says, what, we're doing this again? No. It's only with you. And therefore, the revelation will be much greater. And therefore, nobody's allowed to come. But nobody's allowed, I don't need them to come. What was the response of Klal Yisrael to Luchos Shniyos? What's the answer? Irrelevant. Irrelevant what the response was. It's a new covenant. It's a new, but Eitzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a new covenant. Eitzel, Klal Yisrael, it's the same old covenant. Oh, let's go back to the Gemara and Shabbos. Gemara and Shabbos says that when Hashem gave us the Torah, we didn't really have to keep it because we were forced. Not until what day in time did we have to keep the Torah? Not until what day in time did we have to keep the Torah? Purim. So Tosfos asks, what do you mean? Hashem put a Toichacha on us. That we're responsible. So Tosfos says, no, that was shoved down our throat. So Simcha Zisa Broida asks, what do you mean? Luchai Shniyos we accepted. And therefore, aren't we responsible to keep the Torah because of Luchai Shniyos? Says of Simcha Zisa, Luchai Shniyos wasn't a new deal. Luchai Shniyos was just binding God to the original deal. But it's not stronger than the original deal. And the original deal was forced upon us. And something which is forced is not binding. So therefore the Gemara says very correctly that we were not bound by the Torah when Hashem gave it to us. What do you mean? But we accepted the second Luchos. Hashem didn't suspend the mountain overhead by the second Luchos. That's because He didn't need our response by the second Luchos. Second Luchos were just imposing, we're just subjugating God to the bris. But it was only Nisbatel HaBris Eitzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Klal Yisrael's role in Luchos Shniyos was irrelevant. They didn't have a role in Luchos Shniyos. Luchos Shniyos was Mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Luchos Rishonos was mutual. Now, says with Simcha Zisa Broida, we understand very beautifully why we celebrate Shavuos and not Yom Kippur. What day was the Torah given to the Jewish people? Shavuos, Vav Sivan. That's the day we committed to God and God committed to us. But what do you mean the deal didn't work out? As far as we're concerned, in terms of our responsibilities to God, that's the day. Everything worked out. We broke it, and all bets are off. All bets are off mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But mitzad us, we're bound by the Luchos Rishonos. Hashem went through Luchos Shniyos to bind us. Now Hashem said, look, I'm only going to do this, you know? This is your last chance. I see the first time around when I told you not to do something, it didn't mean anything. So this time around, if you don't listen to me, I'm giving you 49 klalos in Mechukais, and 98 in Kisavim. Maybe this time you'll listen. If you agree to that, then I'll bind myself to you. So really, the truth is, God is only bound to us through the Teichecha. So what's amazing is, now we understand the severity of Shemitah. Because Shemitah is the mitzvah, that's the linchpin to which Hashem said, you keep this meticulously, otherwise I don't take care of you. So it's not that Shemitah is inherently more chomer than any mitzvah, but without our acceptance of the particulars of Shemitah, God's not even responsible to His end of the deal. God only bound Himself to the second bris through the mitzvah of Shemitah. That's why Shemitah, the Ramban says in number 20, carries with it the most severe punishment in the Torah. The Ramban says, he explains the concept that just like Shabbos confirms and authenticates God as the creator of the universe, and it authenticates the concept of creation, likewise Shemitah does. And he says, V'alkein hichmir ha'kosav b'shemitah, yoyser mikol chayov e'lavin v'chayiv ha'golos aleha. Number 20, about halfway through. That of all the chayiv e'lavin, Shemitah carries with it the most severe punishment. Again, because it's the linchpin of God's binding Himself to us. What was Moshe's role in Luchos Shniyos? So we saw, Marv Rabbi Sai, why wasn't anyone allowed to come to Luchos Shniyos? First of all, we didn't need anybody. Second of all, once we didn't need them, and it was only for Moshe, so it was a much greater revelation, and because the revelation was so intense, only Moshe Rabbeinu could be there, and that's why his face was shining. But Luchos Shniyos was only mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, it's not a day we celebrate, because we didn't have a role in Luchos Shniyos. We celebrate Shavuos. That's the day of Kabbalah HaTorah. We weren't mekabel the Torah in Shavuos. God bound Himself to the bris by Luchos Shniyos. So I wanted to suggest, and this is a tremendous matana from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we asked, why is it Luchos Rishonos we celebrate Ba'achila, B'shtia, HaKol Moedim, Debi'ina Nami Lachem, and Luchos Shniyos, what do? We fast. Nothing. We afflict ourselves. Very simple. Shavuos is the day that Klal Yisrael had a role in Kabbalah Satorah. It's the perspective of Kabbalah Satorah mitzad Klal Yisrael. It's the day that the bris, that we were bound to the bris. So mitzad Klal Yisrael, the way we celebrate a Yom Tov from our perspective, is the way we know how to celebrate. From our perspective, Hakol Moedim Deba'ina Nami Lachem, we have to celebrate physically. We have to celebrate joyously. We have to celebrate B'mishta V'simcha. Yom Kippur is the day of Kabbalas HaTorah mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. From God's perspective, from God's angle, from His vantage point, Ein Bayachilu Shtiyah, it's the day of Inisam Es Nafshei Seichem. Therefore, Shavuos and Yom Kippur are obviously diametrically opposite. Because Shavuos is the day from our perspective, and Yom Kippur is the day from the perspective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I think this gives us a number of very important insights into the difference between Luchos Rishonos and Luchos Shniyos, the difference between Shavuos and Yom Kippur, why they're celebrated so differently, why we really only commemorate Luchos Rishonos, why nobody was needed for Luchos Shniyos, and why nobody was allowed to be on Har Sinai for the Luchos Shniyos. Maybe we should talk about Zoicha, that since Shavuos is the Yom Tov of our Kabbalas HaTorah, we should be Zoicha to be Mekabel B'Torah, B'Rachamim, B'Ratzayin, B'Ahava, U'V'Simcha. Wishing everyone Chag Hashav Sameach.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.